Kedushas HaMikdash b'zman hazeh. Halachically, not politically. Just halachically. So continuing our discussion of different milking products, so we're going to discuss a little bit about chema of a goy who produces butter. What is the halachic status? So even though this may not sound like the most exciting food that we're so interested in, it's a little high in the cholesterol, but af avichein, some of the klalim that the Rishonim discussed concerning the issue of chema of goy are critical in terms of some of the other shahs which come up, bizman hazeh, we just talked about, which come up in terms of other things that we're going to talk about probably next week, in terms of issues of powdered milk, and issues of ice cream and yogurt, all those things. A lot of the basic principles are discussed in the Rishonim in the sugya of chema, as well as many of the issues that the Rishonim happen to discuss in terms of chema go way beyond the particular issue of machaloy akom, but touch about some important issues in terms of bitl barov and mivat matzal chatchila, issues which are relevant in general in terms of kashrus. So we'll start with the sugya and see where this takes us. So the first in my makabel, so the Rambam introduces ha'echol gvina sa'akam achol shechavu akam, the issurim that we spoke about in the past, a person needs either cheese of a goy or milk that was milked by a goy v'en yisro ra'eyu, makras or makras mardus. So he's chayim makras mardus, which is usually synonymous with being an issur derabanan. So basically these things are prohibited mid derabanan. So now comes the Rambam and says, what about a chema shel akam? What about butter that was made by a non-Jew? So here, we're already out of territory of the Gemara. Notice that the first in my Mekom was not a Gemara. That means the Gemara doesn't talk about it. The Gemara never says a word. What's the status of butter that was produced by a goy? So comes the Rambam and says, Miktas ha-ge'onim hi tiruha. So there were some ge'onim who said it's perfectly permissible. L'chadchila, goy comes and brings you butter. Again, assuming that there are no treif ingredients in it, assuming there's no chazir in it, just the butter itself is not a problem. Why? So the Rambam goes through the different possible isurim. Sharei lo gozra l'chema. Says the Rambam, everything's mutter until proven asar. So what issue are you going to pin on this butter of a goy? So there was no gezeres chacham on chema. It's not listed in the Mishnah of Avodah Zarah. The Mishnah says they asked the wine, and they asked the bishul acham, and they asked cheese. But butter is not cheese. Not the same thing. There's no or kevus nevela. You don't put rennet into it. It's a whole different process. So they were never gozer on chema. The chalav atmeh ain't well made. So then the Rambam asks, so true, there never was a separate independent gezerah on butter of a goy, but we should ask for it because it comes from milk, and the milk of a goy is treif. So again, in the good old days, when there was a real chashash that maybe the goy had mixed in treif for milk, so how can you be mad to the butter of a goy? Typically, it should be also out chalav akum. So says the Rambam, no, chalav atmeh ain't well made. Just as we said last week concerning cheese, that the iser of cheese, of gvina sachab, is prashtus, is not because of the milk, shabo, because as we said already last week, that the milk of a chaz, or the milk of a camel, does not have the proper fat content to turn into cheese. So the Rambam says it's not going to be, you can't make butter from it either. So it falls between the cracks. There are only two possible isurim, either it's cholav akum or gvina sachab. So cholav akum, you can't ask for it, because if it would have really been cholav tame, so it would never have turned into butter in the first place. And gvina sachim, you can't ask for it, because lamais is not gvina. So as strange as it may sound, to buy milk from a goy, that's chalav akam. To buy cheese from a goy, that's also, because that's gvinas akam. To buy chema from a goy, that's mutl chachila. It's mahadun and mahadun, because it's not chalav, it's not gvina. That's what some ga'onim help. Umiktas ha-ga'onim asrua. Whereas other ga'onim said, no, that it's a problem. Why? Not because of the issue of gvinas akam. These ga'onim agree that it's not basically gvina, but rather it's also b'pnei tzichtzuchei chalav sheyisharba, that we're afraid that there is a little bit of milk inside the butter, and that milk may be treif. What in the world does that mean? So this is something that we spoke about a little bit before. So yakum shebechema einu me'urav imachema kdei shivata b'mi'uto, v'cholav shalhen choshen lo shema irva b'cholav behema tmeya. We'll get to the details of the kum shebechema a little bit later. But basically the Rambam is telling us as follows, that there's always that fear that the guy started out with a cup of kosher milk, and the kosher milk could be turned into butter. And he ran a little bit short, so he threw a little bit of treif milk in also, and then he took this whole concoction, and he turned it into butter. So true, the treif part of the milk, the chaza part of the milk, is not going to churn. It's not going to become butter, whatever the mechanics of that is. It's not going to become butter, but it still may be left behind. It's maybe drops within the butter that never really became butter, and are really treif. And those drops of milk are asarat chol of akum. So the Rambam quotes the Basam Gaonim, who in effect asked the butter, because looked at every butter, munach at every butter, is a potential problem of tzuchei chol, that maybe there are drops of milk which are left behind. So the question is, what in the world is this issue? Why is it that the first Gaonim were not at all concerned about these tzuchei cholov, and the second group of Gaonim were concerned? So there are different interpretations already in the Rishonim and later in the Acharonim for sure, as to what precise it was in the Kudas HaMachloikas between these two sets of Gaonim. So if we look at the second Imam Kamos, where the notion of tzuchei cholov originally comes from. This is the Gemara that we alluded to a little bit last week, that the Gemara was searching for why the Chazal asked the Gvina Sakom. What's wrong with Gvina Sakom? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rabbi Chanina, lefi she'iyav shalab lov tzuchei cholov. Rabbi Chanina was of the opinion that Gvinas Akum is Osir because there are Tzuchei Cholov inside, because there are droplets of milk, even though as a general rule, the chaz, the milk will not turn into cheese. But if you have a whole big bottle of kosher milk and a little bit of chaz milk, so there's little drops of chaz milk maybe still sitting in the holes of the cheese. So Rabbi Chanina said that Gvinas Akum is also because of Tzuchei Cholov. Ushmuel Amar, Shmuel was the one who was mechadish to what we spent most of the shiur last week speaking about, that the reason why the Chachamim prohibited Gvinas Achim was because of the fact of the rennet, because of the fact that we're afraid that you're using the Or Kevus Nevela. So many poskim say that this issue of Tzichtuchei Cholov is ultimately a machlokes in the Gemara. That means the Rambam presented like it was a machlokes in the days of the Gaonim. No, it was a machlokes in the Gemara itself. So what does that mean, Lamaisa? So we basically assume that the reason why cheese is also is because of Or Kevus Nevela. That's the real reason. But the question is, do we ignore Rabbi Chanina? Do we hold that Rabbi Chanina was just off? That that's not true, that there are no Tzichtuchei Cholov, or we're not concerned with the Tzichtuchei Cholov? So some Gaonim seem to say that, yeah, that we forget about Rabbi Chanina. That's why the Rabbi Chanina says, Lafisha Iyev Shalom Tzuchei Cholov is not true. That's not the reason why we ask it Gvinas Akum, and it's not the reason to ask her Chemas Akum either. That's what the first opinion of the Gaonim said. And the second opinion of the Gaonim said, no, that Rabbi Chanina is right, and Shmuel's also right. So true Shmuel's reason to ask her cheese is not going to carry over to butter, because butter doesn't have the fear of Or Kevus Nevela, but there is the other reason, that you can't just machavek Rabbi Chanina. So that's one interpretation. That's what some poskim say, that the Nekudas HaMachlekes within the Gaonim was, bottom line, is Rabbi Chanina just totally rejected? Or no, maybe Rabbi Chanina is also accepted. Others say that it's more of an issue of Metzias. The Rishon who have this idea that, again, I'm not such a buck in the making of cheese or a buck in the making of butter, but some Rishonim suggest, I guess they know more about it than I do, that yeah, that's true. That there are holes, there are particles of milk, there are droplets of milk that are in the that will remain intact during the cheese making process. But Masha'en came in the butter churning process, then it's not going to be true. So even Rabbi Chanina, who was choshish for the tzuchei cholov when it came to gvina, would be molded when it comes to chema. So the bottom line is, it's presented in the Rambam as a machlokas ha-ga'onim, that half the ga'onim were concerned with the tzuchei cholov, and the other half the ga'onim machtavek, they weren't concerned. Why weren't they concerned? Either because they were never concerned with tzuchei cholov, or even if they were concerned with it when it came to gvina, so they couldn't have cared less about it when it comes to chema. But this is really the issue in terms of the mitzvahs, in terms of the particular issue relating to chema. The question that really touches on more of a general issue in terms of kashrus is that which the Rambam continues. If we go back to the first of the Maamar Kamos, the part that we read through quickly, after the Rambam quotes that mikzas ha-gaonim asruah b'beit tzuchei cholov sheyesh arba, so the Rambam is bothered with a problem. The problem that the Rambam is asking, he's giving the answer without even telling what this question was. His question was, good, as all zayin there were tzuchei cholov, but the pashas is they should be batel b'rov. The Bashtas is that you're looking at this whole big tub of butter, and how much tzuchei cholov is there? Even aniach that it's truly a little drop of a tray for milk, but basically it should be bottled the roe, b'shishim, b'meah. How much is it? So the Rambam is trying to explain away why that's not true. Says the Rambam, "Sher hakum shebechema eina meurev emachema kidei shiyavato b'miyuto." That that part of the chema which has the potential tzuchei cholov to it, it's not ma'urav biyachad. It's not mixed in together. What the Rambam seems to be attacking is that it's not really a tarovis. Bitl barov always means when you have a mixture, when you have a big pot of cholent and a little bit of milk falls into the cholent pot, so that's called a tarovis. When you have a tarovis, then there are rules of bitl. Whereas here, the way the setup of the potential tray for milk and the butter is not going to be bottled because it's not ma'urav yachad. So this is a very serious question. What exactly does that mean? What did the Rambam understand that that's not called ma'urav yachad? Come to Kesef Mishnah, which the after three of the Maamar Kamos, come to Kesef Mishnah, Chema Shel Goyim, Kosev a Rashba b'Torah Sabayis. Because the Mishnah quotes a kash that the Rashba had on the sheet of the Rambam. Al Divrei Rabbeinu Hatam Shekosev b'Israchem. That the Rambam claimed that the butter is a problem. Vibnei Shakum Shebechema Einam Urvi Machema. That part of the butter which has the potential treif milk is Namu Urvi Yachad Sheivata B'Miuto. Says the Kesef Mishnah, the name of the Rashba Einam Mechuvar Klal. Says the Rashba, that's not a good svara. Why? Shehabitul Barov Ba'alma. Says the Rashba, in order to create Bittul Barov, you don't need a physical ta'arovus. What in the world does that mean? We all know Hilchus Bittul Barov, the name of the halachas in Shulchan Aruch is called Hilchus Ta'arovus. So what does that mean? So the Rashba continues. Sharechitim shel truma shenoflu sachachulin o grogu shel truma shenoflu sachachulin af bishe ze omer bifne atmo vze omer bifne atmo betelin bishe yuron. Comes the Rashman and tells us that a very important principle in terms of Bittul Barov. There are really two different types of Bittul. There's Bittul in terms of Lach Balach, and there's Bittul in terms of Yavesh B'Yavesh. Lach Balach means when literally, as the name sounds, Lach means something that's wet, something that's moist, something that gets mixed together, totally mushed together. So for example, if you drop a little bit of milk into a pot of chulin, so that's called Lach Balach. So the milk diffuses throughout the entire pot of chulin. So that's classic Hilchus Tarovus. That's the Tarovus, then there are dinim of Bittul, the Bittul Barov, Bittul Bashishim, whatever the Shear Bittul is. But that's only one half of Hilchus Bittul. There's also a Bittul of what's called a Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish. If you have three pieces of meat, two of them are kosher, and one of them is treif, and they're sitting together, not in a pot, they're sitting together in a basket together, and you're not cooking them, there's no interchange, there's no interplay in terms of taste. It's also considered to be Achri Rav Mahatos. You still follow Rov. So comes the Rashba and says, Bishlam, in the first case, is a Tarovus of Lach Balach, it all becomes one, and it's a new entity, it mamish to taste, it's neat and from one to another. So that's one type of Bittul. But there's another type of Bittul. The second type of Bittul of Yavish B'Yavish is also Ze'omi B'Fnei Atmo V'Ze'omi B'Fnei Atmo. So comes the Rashba and says, I don't understand the Rambam. If the Rambam's telling us a story about the butter, that the tray for milk is not bottled in the butter because it's omid b'fnei atzmo. Says the Rashba, good, so zayin it's omid b'fnei atzmo, it should still be bottled. The halachas of bittul do not only apply to things which are diffused uniformly throughout the tarovus, like the milk in the chulin. The dinner of bittul apply even when nothing's moving, no taste, nothing, there's no liquid whatsoever. That's also considered to be a dinner of bittul. In a certain sense, that's an even more clear dinner of bittul. The whole dinner of bittul Barov. It's interesting, nowhere in Shas does the Gemara ever spell out how we know the principle of Bittul Barov. The Gemara just always says, with the rice of Baruba bottle. If you have two pieces of kosher meat, one piece of treif meat, it's Bittul Barov. How in the world does Chazal know that? So Rashi writes in Maseches Gittin, it's a Poskim Chomish, Achrei Rabba Mahatos, that you follow Rov. Achrei Rabba Mahatos, where's the Bittul Barov over there? So the answer is Dayanim. The Torah says that you go to a Din Torah, so two Dayanim say Chayiv, and one Dayan says Potter. So what's the Loch? So Chayiv. How can you be chayev? I one dayan screaming out, it's potter, potter, potter. How can you be mighty mamon? The answer is that one bottle, that one dayan is bottle. It's a tarevis. The three dayanim are sitting together, and we declare two out of three says one way. So the one of the other dayan is considered to be like bottle barov. That scenario of bittul barov that the Torah is describing, Rashi says that's the model. That is the role model for all of Hilchos bittul and kol Torah kula. Because the one dayan is bottle to his two friends. That's why the drop of milk was bottle to the meat. So comes the Rashba, L'chara, rightfully so, and says, the original case of Bittul is not Tarovus Tam, it's not Tarovus Lach Balach. If you had to compare the din of Bittul of Dayanim to which case in the kitchen, would you compare it to the case of the drop of milk inside the pot of chulin, or would you compare it to the three pieces of dry meat? I would say that the three Dayanim don't mix so well. They don't like each other, the Dayanim. They don't get along. One screaming two, one screaming two is screaming chai, one screaming putter. They're not becoming uniform. They're not changing Tam one to another. So Mestama, that's like a bittul of Yavish B'Yavish. And Alpha B'Chein, the Torah says there's a din of bittul Barov. So the Rashba is right. What's the Rambam telling us a story? That it's a dub which is omer b'fnei atzmo, and therefore it's not subject to bittul. So if we, Rashba elaborates the kasha, we'll leave out all the details of the kasha. If we go towards the bottom of the Kesef Mishnah, where it says Vali Nira, about 7-8 lines from the bottom, so the Kesef Mishnah explains the Shittas Rambam. V'li Nira, says the Kesef Mishnah, D'lodas Rabbeinu Yeshlomar, D'lodami L'chitam O'Gregor Shotruma Shinitz'ar V'Bechulin. Why? D'hosam Avati Shezeh Omi B'fnei Atmo V'zeh Omi B'fnei Atmo. True, there's no absolute giving of taste one to another. Mikom Mokom Eina Iser Nikar Klal. The Yesod HaDavar is that Bittul requires that the Iser not be recognizable. the Issa could be separate from the Heter. They don't have to be touching. They could be in different rooms, but they have to be clearly not recognizable. If they're recognizable, that's called a Davar Shebe'en, and a Davar Shebe'en, a Davar Nikar, there's absolutely no Bittul. So says the Kesef Mishnah, Aval Bechema, Habe Issa Nikar, Tahainu Hakum, you can look at the liquidy part of the butter, Elo She'iev She'liver also, L'salkom in Hachema, L'fikach in a butter. What the Rambam was describing is as follows. The reason why the Tichtuchei Cholav are in butter is because you're staring them in the face. Now there's no way, we'll see in a minute, at least at first glance, there's no way to get rid of those Tichtuchei Cholav. So the Rambam was saying the following, you say. The Rambam says, let's declare that this Tichtuchei Cholav should be batel, because after all, the total volume of this tub of butter is 100 ounces. And out of this tub of 100 ounces, only 1 ounce is Tichtuchei Cholav. So the Rambam says, forget about bittul, because you're staring at the Tichtuchei Cholav in the face. You can't get rid of it. That's your technical problem. But bittul doesn't work when it's not nika. So basically, what the Kesef Mishnah is telling us is that there are really three different scenarios where bittul may not be relevant. The best case scenario, the absolute best case of bittul, is in effect when it's lach balach, when it's totally demolished, when the milk fell into the chol, into the mamish kemandaleisa. So that's bittul works for. Then you have yavish b'yavish, two pieces of dry meat, of kosher meat, and one piece of dry, not cooked treifa meat. They get mixed together into a bak. That's also bittul. That's true. But the common denominator in those two cases is that the isser is not nikar anymore. The milk can't be seen anymore. The tray piece of meat can't be seen because you don't know where it is. Tasha'en came the case that the Rambam is describing. The davra asr is there. It's just you can't get it out. That's your technical problem. That's not the halacha's problem. That's not called the tarayvis. Otazoy, that's a problem, right? That's a very big problem. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, it's a very, very big problem. That's not a big problem. Rav Chaim, as a whole shtickle tyrant, Rav Chaim al Ashas, to try to explain where in the world did Chazal honestly see Bittul Baro from Dayanim. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. We're not throwing the Dayanim into a pot. Maybe sometimes they do throw the Dayanim into a pot, but at least in this case, we're not throwing the Dayanim onto the fire. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. The whole dimyon is such a shaky thing. But Dr. Weinberg points out L'chaira correctly, that if the whole word of Bittul, the Kesef Mishnah is saying, is that if it's Niker, if it's Be'en, then it's not the Chlal, the Parasha of Bittul, that the original source of Bittul seems to be describing that case. I'm really not sure what the answer to that question is. No. In butter, you want to take butter and put it on your bread. There's going to be tzachtuchei cholov. Wherever you go, you're looking at tzachtuchei cholov. So, and it's no way to, at least at this point, there's no way to remove those tzachtuchei cholov. So, kol zman the tzachtuchei cholov are there, they're nikarim, and therefore they're not going to be bottle. There is a machlekes in the later poskim about whatever you have a davar asur which became mixed into a davar butter, and right now it's taka not recognizable. But you could play some kind of a game. You can do some kind of a chemical analysis or something to get it to become recognizable. So is that also included with the Kesef Mishnah is telling us? That whenever it's a Davra Nikar, so that's cool, not a Tarevis, and you're not allowed to rely on any rules, or maybe not. It's a very big difference. The Kesef Mishnah is talking about where right now it's Nirolei Nayim, the Tzuchei Cholov, whereas you're going to play a game, you're going to hocus pocus, and in an hour from now, you're going to be able to separate the two, so maybe you're not Mechuyev to do that. Maybe the Hilchos Tarevis is paskened up by Shei Hosham. That's already a further Shaila. They talk about the Chelev, about after, it's maybe related to Tefel Sochtor. It may have some Shaila Tefel Sochtor. But I call upon him this issue that the Rambam is raising, that the Rashi was opposed to, so this really opens up our eyes in terms of Hilchos Tarovis in general. What was the Rashba has an entirely different take on this. The Rashba himself, who was bothered with this kasha, about L'chayr, the Tzichtuchei Cholov really should be B'Telim. So the Rashba says, no, this is a Hochacha to something that we spoke about last week. The Rashba says, remember we mentioned last week when we're dealing with these types of Isurim, of Gvina Sachem and Cholav Achem, potential Chemas Achem, are we going with the regular rules of Yerodea or not? Why? So there were some Rishonim, we said last week, the Raivin and Balamor, who claimed that the Chachamim did not want us to be eating too much with the non-Jews. That was the basic reason of all these Yisurim. So the Chachamim came up with these ideas that there's a Chashash, maybe it's Cholav from the Behemoth Tameya, and maybe it's Or Kavas Nevela, maybe this, maybe that, but bottom line, the real motive behind all these Yisurim were to create this little bit of a, you know, inhibition in terms of eating with non-Jews together. So that's what we mentioned last week, that there were some Rishonim who maintained that even things which technically in Yardei Chelek Aleph, in terms of regular rules of Kashrus, would really be batel, when you come to Yardei Chelek Beis, which is Hulchas, Chemasakam, Cholavakam, Gvinasakam, Stam Yadim, etc., none of the rules carry over. That these things are Asurim B'Kolshu, that they're not the formal Asurim B'Kolshu of Avodah Zarah and Chometz B'Pesach, but basically that's what the Chomim did, that they didn't want to rely on any kulas. That's, if you remember last week, we mentioned about the cheese, that the Gemara said that the reason why the cheese is also is we pass it is because Mamidim or Kavis Nevela, because of the Renet. So the Rambam has the Kasha in the Renet. What do you mean? Or Kavis Nevela. But it should be Batel. And the Rambam had to be Mechandesh, that the Dabra Mamin ain't a Batel. That something which causes the cheese to become cheese is never going to be Batel. And other Rishonim said that's not true. Other Rishonim said it really should be Batel. That the Chol HaTorah Kula, the Renet, should also be Batel. The only reason why it's also is because the Chum didn't want to see together with the Gaim. So the Rashba says that's the answer to why the Gaonim asked the butter. Not like the Rambam says, it should be Batel Barov, and the Rambam had to turn over backwards to figure out why it's not Batel, because it's Niket HaRov. Nah, the whole thing is not true. The reason why we're not going to invoke the principle of Bittel is because we don't like Hilchas Bittel. We don't want to be Mevatel anything in terms of these Macholas of the Kechavim. So basically, what we have in terms of the issue of the butter, Parshe Husham, you have this butter of a guy in front of you, so you have to decide what are the potential issues. So, Gvina Sakom, not really too concerned with, because Chem and Gvina are totally different. There's no Orkevus Nevela in the making of butter. In terms of Cholavachim, so some Gaonim said that nothing to be concerned with, because after all, the Cholav of Behemoth Temeah can't become butter. And the other Gaonim responded, no, they were always afraid of the Tichtuche Cholav, always afraid of the little bit of milk that was from the Chazer that was left behind to tuck it in terms of butter. So the question becomes, good that there's Cholav there, I bet it should be Batel Barov. So the Rambam had to explain that it's not Shaykh to be Batel Barov because it's Nika HaIsar, and the Rashba didn't assume that way. The Rashba was assuming that that's not called Nika, the Rashba that could still be Batel. The reason why it's not Batel is because of the special Chumrah of Avodah Zarah. But Ad Kan, the Machlek is the Gaonim in terms of the butter, in the state of butter the way it is now. But now comes the Rambam with a phenomenal Chiddush in the third of the Mamar Kamos. Says the Rambam, Yerali, it would appear to me the following Chiddush. If you bought butter from a non-Jew, ubishla, and then you go ahead and cook the butter, you could cause this tichtuche cholof to evaporate. So if you cook up the butter, so all you're going to be left with now is the solid butter. And again, there's nothing wrong with the solid butter. The solid butter is clearly from kosher milk. The problem is the droplets of milk. That was the trefa milk. Says the Rambam, Yerali Harezim Mutara. So that's Mutar. Again, he's going even according to the Gaon who asked the butter. If you amounted the butter in the state that it was, that you weren't concerned with Tzuchai Cholov to begin with, so you don't have to cook it. Even before cooking it, it's Mutar. But even on the Echdes Asar, before it was cooked, if you cook it, then it's okay. She Impayman is Arabu Iman Vinis Bashlu Kulam Bitbatlu Bimiyutam. So what are you going to tell me that no, that a little bit of the butter evaporated, a little bit of the milk evaporated, a little bit got mixed into the rest of the butter, says the Rambam, good, after it's cooked already, then it's taka batlu bimiyutam, you can't see it anymore, so it's going to be batlu barof. But the Rambam just says, an afterthought of Alchema Shabishlo Sa'akom Asur Mishum Gili Akom, commotion is bar, that if the goy cooks the butter for you, that's going to be a problem. Because he may be using trefa kelim, maybe bishal, other reasons why the butter is going to be off limits. But in terms of if you, a Jew, go ahead and buy the trefa butter, you realize what the Rambam is telling you. He's telling you, go to the guy and buy butter which the Gaonim held as osur, it's trefa because it's tichtuche cholav. Go ahead and cook it, and shalom Yisrael, everything's going to be okay. So this touches on a very, very serious question. This touches on an issue very relevant in Hilchos Kashrus today of Eim Mevatlin Issur L'Chatchila. The Rambam is telling you to pull off the following stunt, that the way the butter looks right now when you buy it, it's mamish treif, according to the Gaonim. It has treif of milk sitting there. So what does the Rambam tell you to do? Play a game, cook it up, and the little drops of milk, the Rambam says, whatever's left is going to be Nis'ar B'yachad, it's all going to be butter. So if you look at the Lashon Rambam, the Rambam says she'im tomar nis'ar v'u'iman v'nisbashlu kulan batlu b'miyutam. The Rambam says uses the phrase bittel. The Rambam does use the phrase bittel. So the question is, isn't that of an absolute violation of Eim Mevatlin Issur L'Chatchila?
Even when you had made it, and now in this time,
That was Baltimore before. I mean, you're not accomplishing it. You're not accomplishing a bittle. I don't know. I don't consider myself an expert on the butter process to make that statement. I don't know. I know the Rambam does use the phrase. The Rambam seems to be describing something to do with bittle b'mir. That is for sure. So many Rishonim understood that the Rambam was working with the fact that you are going to be doing an act of bishul, and that act of bishul is going to be potentially causing a bittle of a davar asar. So that opens up. Okay. We're gonna get to that. So. Okay, that's what we're gonna see. What exactly is the heter over here? Is that what happened to Eim of Avlinus
Lachatkila? I think it's worse actually than the Shabbat, because if you think about it, the robe of the Chol Shmeiah is in a cook, so that the meal that you had before you evaporated it is mevatel, is compulsive to the Shmeiah, to the Chol Shmeiah, and what you have is you have a little bit.
No, but I think the whole thing, when you cook it, I think it's all going to become solid. It means you're not going to have this liquid stuff floating around anymore. You're not going to have tuchei cholav anymore. That's the point of the bishul. It's going to disappear. So the question is, where's it going? Is it going up to Shemayim, or is it going back into the butter? So that's the question. So, Akopan, let's assume for now that there's some kind of potential issue of Eim Avatlus Lachatchila here. So, that's a big problem. That's a problem. You're not allowed to be Avatlus Lachatchila, and to such an extent that if a person violates the din of Eim Avatlus Lachatchila, so the food becomes also be the evet. So, what in the world is the Rambam solving this problem? What exactly did you accomplish? So, there's a question in the Rishonim. Where did the Rishonim even ask this question to begin with? The Ravid has a... I know someone got chopped off, I think, the Ravid. But the Ravid asks the Kasha and this Rambam, the Ravid has a Lashon, maybe I forgot to put it on the Marmon comments, the Ravid has a Lashon that, imagine a Shaholacha Isra or something, the Ravid has some kind of a Lashon that he doesn't like the Rambam's the game over here, the Ravid says, how you talking, you can go and buy this tray for butter and then make it mutter. So many assumed that what the Ravid was asking was in fact his Kasha, and even if it wasn't exactly the Ravid's Kasha, there were other Rishonim who did phrase this Kasha exactly like this. So what happened to the Yisr of Eim Avatanus Lachatchila? So Lechora, there are a few possible answers to this problem of Eim Avatanus Lachatchila. And both of them touch on important Yisodus in terms of Eim Avatanus Lachatchila. It's quite possible that what the Ramba means is as follows. The Kesefish already has this idea that... take a look at the second to the bottom line, the last Mar Machom Tezayin, the second to the bottom line, She'ena Kavana, towards the end of the line. She'ena Kavana Bibishal El Lahatich Ul Chalos HaIsser. The Rambam honestly meant that when a person is going to cook up this butter, what he wants to happen is that the tzuchtuch and chalav are going to evaporate. That's clearly what his intention is. Ella, shabal lomar. So why is the Rambam telling you a story of a bittel berov? The Rambam should have said that you're getting rid of it. There's no isser anymore. But the Rambam is saying like this. Ella, shabal lomar. She'im b'mikre lo yichlu. That let's say, lo yitzu, it doesn't work entirely. V'yishar ezer dove mehem. And a little bit of the milk is not going to evaporate. Bottle berov. What the Kesavish is saying is as follows. In the realm of Eim Avatlanus Lachatchila, your Kavana plays a critical role. Your intention here is not Levatel Isser. Your intention is totally to get rid of the Isser. What you would like to happen here is to remove the Isser Lagamre, and you're doing a process that's trying to do that. You're cooking it up, you're heating it up, so you're hoping and praying for total evaporation. But the Lamaisa and the chemists tell us that it's not going to totally evaporate. Some of it's just going to get seeped into the rest of the butter. That wasn't my Kavana. Whenever my Kavana is not Levatel, that's not considered, has to be Dasa Mevatel. That's not considered to be a violation of Eim Avatlanus Lachatchila. The classic scenario of Eim Avatlanus Lachatchila is, let's say like this, I'm cooking up a pot of chicken soup, and I get an extra guest comes in. And you know, I can't find any more kosher chicken soup to put in, so I feel embarrassed. I want to make the pot a little bit fuller, so I go pull out some tray for chicken soup and throw it in. I'm a big lamdin, it's about the bashishim, gavaldik, so that's the yisr eim avatlachatchila. I want to take the chazer, I want to take the tray for chicken soup, I want to use it, I want to be mevatla isr. That's a violation of eim avatlachatchila. But whenever my intention is, for half a dozen other reasons, I want to remove the yisr, I have other possible reasons why I'm doing it, that's not called Eim Avatlanus Lachatchila. So the truth is that the Rishonim already have this. The Rishonim discussed this when it comes to kasher and kalim. There's an age-old problem when you kasher kalim, every time you kasher a kli, so you should be recreating the same problem again. What do? You take a spoon, so the spoon has a bli of treifus in it, so you go ahead and throw the spoon into a pot of boiling water. So what happens? So the bleas come right out of the spoon, go into the water, and they go right back in again to the spoon. To make it worse, they go right back into the pot. So everything should be treif. So that's an age-old question. All the Rishonim will bother with, how do you solve this problem? So the Ramban has some miraculous answer to this problem. The Ramban says, no, that the water, very smart water, the water somehow draws the bluyas out, it doesn't let it go back in. The Ramban tries to show you from different Gemaras how he knew that to be true. So most of the Rishonim assume that the Matthias is not right, that the whatever comes out goes right back in again. But some of the Rishonim ask, like on this Ramban, they say like a lashon like the chiyah bliyos neviyos host the neviyos they know where to go, the bliyah knows to come out, to stay put, not to go back in. It's hard to believe, but the Ramban has this idea that the water draws out the bliyah and someone doesn't put it back in. But all the other Rishonim disagree. So what talk is the answer to the problem? So different Rishonim have different eitzahs how to permit you to kasher things. So many Rishonim say a very simple eitzah that you should kasher, always make sure that the kli is an eino ben yoma. Always wait 24 hours before you kasher a kli. That's what our minig is. Why? Because there's a din of nosin tam levgam. That whenever you have a belia, which already doesn't taste good, it's already been sitting inside the walls of a pot for more than 24 hours, so me'ikra din, it's really mutter. Min ha-Torah, if you have a pot that was cooked with treifas last week, so mid-daraisi, you're really allowed to use it today, because it's, whatever time comes out is nosin tam levgam. But mid-rabbanan, they made a gezeira that you shouldn't use this pot, because if you're going to use the pot that hasn't been used for 24 hours, next thing you know, you're going to use the pot which was used within the 24 hours. That's the gezeira that appears in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, a gezeira kedera she'ena bas yoma, atu bas yoma. So the Rishonim explained that gezeira was only made if the tchilas abliyah was l'shvach. That means, shvach here doesn't mean shvach like Yiddish, it means like shevach, like good. If originally you cooked in a pot, you cooked chazer, so when the chazer went into the pot, it went in geshmak, it went in good, it tasted good. So that pot was treif. So now 24 hours have passed, so maker didn't really, the pot should become kosher, but no, mid rabbanan they said, since it started out being treif, so we're going to continue its status of treif until you kasher. But what's the din taka b'diyavid? If you cooked in a pot that hasn't been used in 24 hours, taka the food is kosher. So come the Rishonim and say, "Bamed devar mamum," that the Chachamim prohibited a bliya even if it's nosin tam lefgam. That's only if it started out nosin tam leshvach. But if the tchilas abliya was lefgam, like in the case of the spoon, here the bliya comes out of the spoon and goes into the water, and now it goes back in. Number two, time number two when it goes back in, that's the tchilas abliya. So that tchilas abliya is already lefgam because that those particles, those molecules of bliya were sitting inside the walls of the spoon for 24 hours. So that's what many Rishonim say. They just wait 24 hours and you're home free. That's chilas abliyah lefgam, nothing to worry about. So the Ran in Maseches Avodah Zarah points out that that's very nice on a level of the Rabbanan. But mid the Araisa, how do you kasher any kli? Because mid the Araisa, let's not forget, you don't have to kasher kli after 24 hours. Mid the Araisa, you can just wait 24 hours and use the kli without kashering it. But the Torah gives us the parish of kashering kelim. Parshas Midyan, Parshas Gula Kli Midyan, and Parshas Matos. And the Torah speaks about kashering kelim. So the Ran asks, how are you going to pull off the stunt of kashering a kli midaraisa? To kasher it after 24 hours, that's ridiculous, because you don't have to kasher it after 24 hours. To kasher it within 24 hours, so you're stuck, because it's going to become treif again. So says the Ran, there's got to be an eitzah to kasher a kli on a level of deraisa. What's the answer? Says the Ran, the answer is bitl b'shishim, that take the spoon and put the spoon into a tremendous pot, so the bliyas are going to come out of the spoon into the water, but they're going to be mevatel. They're going to float around in the water of the pot, and then the water of the pot is going to be mevatel. So the Ran asks on himself, how could the Torah permit the kashering of something? It's a violation of mevatelness lechatchila. And then we show him, say, mevatelness lechatchila is nisa deraisa. So what right do you ever have to kasher a pot based on bitl b'shishim? Mevatelness lechatchila. So the Ran says, the answer is, you couldn't care less about this bliya. By nafkamina, you want a kosher spoon. So you're doing something, you're trying to get your spoon, forget, you're trying to get the bliya out. So you're going to tell me that you're, in effect, causing a bliya to go back in, you're causing a bliya to become bottle, but shishim, that's not my problem. That wasn't my kavana. Kavana samavatl is critical in terms of the yisr of eimavatl lachatchil. And the Ran is saying this on a level of deraisa. So that's mamash what the Kesef Mishnah is quoting to defend the Rambam Shita also. That the guy who's boiling up the butter, he doesn't want the treifa milk. He's trying to do everything in his ability to get rid of the treifa milk. He's trying to totally evaporate it. A couple of drops are falling back. That's not my problem. So this is a shaila. Kasha's wrote about the apple juice. This was an issue with the clarifiers in terms of the apple juice. The Rashi was Makel. He was Makel in this. So apparently, what was
the concern is that they float gelatin through the tank to clarify All the apple juice that you see is sparkling clean, but not, it's not naturally that way. Mm-hmm. They flow gelatin through the tank. So somebody asked me, Moshe, isn't that a problem of any vatni sinochatula?
So he said,
so the kavana is to take away the shmur.
Right. I mean, you don't want to have gelatin in your apple juice. That's not your kavana. Kavana is some other side thing. So derech agav, you're causing a bit of lechachil. That's not called a mevat lechachil. It's like the old kasha. What right do you have to pour out your fleishig and milchis in the same garbage? The famous kasha. I'm pouring my chicken soup into the garbage, and I'm pouring my cereal and milk into the same garbage. So the answer is that's a joke. So when we first get married, so we had two garbages. One was for recycling, one was for regular. So somebody, once one of my tamidim came in and said, oh, you're machmir for that kasha? I said, no one's machmir for that kasha. It's a klotz kasha. The reason why it's a klotz kasha is because it's not kavanas ha'mevat. So see, you had to come to the shir about butter to know why you're still allowed to go home. You don't have to... If you would have gone home and told your wives that you have to get two garbages because of them vatlas lechatchila, so yeah, that's right. So Baruch Hashem, we were a maker at least on that. A few coolers we get out of this year.
Let's say you have
trays
that fell
into
soup and it's not
butter.
Why can't you add on?
Oh, add on. So the Gemara says that vatlas lechatchila applies even lahosef ala iser, even lahosef ala heter. No. Your intention is levatal iser. I mean, you have the Isser here, and you want to be able to eat the food. There are some Rishonim who say that that's only an Isser derabanan. The Isser deraita v'mevatlin, if it exists, is only the original Isser. L'hosef taka maybe mutim in it. The Rashba seems to say that. So Kopanim, that's one mahalach to explain why the butter, the Rambam wasn't so concerned. There could have been another possible reason to defend the practice of permitting the cooking of the butter, based on the following: that there is a Gemara in Maseches Beitza that we spoke about this a little bit last year, where the Gemara says that the Isser v'mevatlin is lachatchila may not be applying full force to Isurim Derabanan. There are different sheetahs in the Rishonim about when exactly that's true, but there are some Rishonim who read into the Gemara Maseches Beitza to say that Eim Avat Lachachila really only applies to Isurim Deraisa, doesn't apply to Isurim Derabanan. So the question is, are we dealing with Deraisa here? Are we dealing with Derabanan? So in theory, we're dealing with Deraisa because we're dealing with Treif Milk. So Treif Milk is really Treif Min HaTorah. But if you remember going back to the first Shirim we said before Pesach, when we introduced the issue of Chalav Akum, so we said that even though if you have mamish camel's milk, so that's Issa Deraisa, the fact that the Chachamim goes there, that you have to assume that any milk that a guy is giving you may have camel's milk in it, that's not an Issa Deraisa. There's no way that could be an Issa Deraisa, either because it's bottle berov in the original kosher milk, because we're never afraid of the guy trying to pass off on you camel's milk totally, because camel's milk doesn't look the same as cow's milk. The original fear of Chalav Akum was only that there was a drop of camel's milk in this. I mean, I thought it was bottle berov. Or others said that Midaraisa, most animals that give milk are kosher. Or the Chazon Ish claimed that Midaraisa, the odds that someone's going to try to pull a stunt on you is far-fetched. So bottom line, when a goy comes and presents you milk and says, the goy comes and says, this is cow's milk, I'm not allowed to drink that milk because Issa Derabanan of Chalav Akum, that's not an Issa Deraisa, that's only an Issa Derabanan. Midaraisa, the problem is long solved. So maybe one can argue that if you hold it, those Rishonim will say that Eim Avat Nusachachachila may not apply to Issa Derabanan, which is very questionable, we probably don't pask in that way in Shulchan Aruch, but Naniach, that one would be making on the Shal of Eim Avat Nusachachachila and Issa Derabanan, that would be another possible Tzad Lahachal. So I'll call upon him. What the Rambam does permit, basically, is as follows. That the Rambam basically tells us that if you buy milk from the, if you buy butter from the goy, so the Rambam, in effect, tells you that it's mutter, because you're buying the butter from the goy, Gvinas Akum doesn't apply. Cholav Akum may be an issue of Tzichtuch and Cholav, maybe yeah, maybe no. And if you boil it up and get rid of the Tzichtuch and Cholav, so basically you're home free. So the kash that we really have to leave with, which is going to be the lead into next week's year, is the question of Lemafarshim Echad and the Rambam, the following kash. The Rambam seems to only permit to buy butter from a guy and then boil it up. That the Rambam says, okay. What about the following? What if I want to go to a guy and buy milk from a guy? Cholav Akum Mamash. It's not Tzichtuche Cholav. The real McCoy. Cholav Akum. And I'm going to turn it into butter. So I'm going to turn it into butter and I'm going to boil it. So tell me why it's Aser. You're going to Aser it out. Gvinas Akum, this is not Gvina. You're going to ask for that. Cholav Akum, it can't be a Cholav. There is no Cholav because the treif of milk cannot possibly turn into butter and whatever took a Cholav, they have been boiled up. So what's wrong with that? It may be nothing. Is there anything wrong with going to a guy and buying absolutely, quote-unquote, treif of milk, Cholav Akum, and then I'm going to do the process to turn it into whatever I want? So if the Rambam would permit that also, that would open up an interesting idea for within the Chol of Yisrael, Gvinas Yisrael industry. Namely, if I want to make types of things, let's say chemas akam or gvinas. I'm sorry, I don't want to make chemas akam or gvinas. I want to make chemas yisrael, gvinas yisrael. I want to make a mahadrin. I don't mean necessarily the company. I want to make mahadrin and a mahadrin, gvinas yisrael, and mahadrin and a mahadrin, chemas yisrael, gavaldik. What do I have to start with? So maybe I can go to a guy and buy his milk and use that milk to make all my products. Because after all, that's in effect what the Rambam's telling us. The Rambam's saying that you went to the goy, you bought the chametz from the goy, and you cooked it up, and you turned it into being mutter. Hocus pocus, it went from asa to being mutter. So with the same hold true, if I go ahead and I buy the raw products from the goy also. So the answer to that question, that's a multi-billion-dollar question, the answer to that question. Because anyone who wants to produce gvinas Yisrael, does that by definition mean that they have to buy chametz Yisrael to start with? Assuming that Chol Yisrael exists as matters, yeah? Or does that mean, nope, that if you want to produce Gvinas Yisrael, you can do that just as easily, and probably a little bit cheaper, with Chol of Acham as well, the same way the Rambam let you go. Either Gvina or Chema now, because if it's Gvinas Yisrael, so then I solved the Gvina problem also, but I'm still stuck with the original Chol of Acham problem. So if the Rambam told you that if you do a process of something which in effect removes the possibility of Chol of Tomei, the Rambam says it's okay. I'm going to turn it into cheese. So chalav tamei cannot turn into cheese. So I'll boil it up. I'll get rid of the tzichtuchim. I'll make the cheese in such a way. I'll get rid of the tzichtuchim. Guarantee you, you'll find a way to make cheese where you won't have tzichtuchim chalav anymore. So naniach that you could do that. Is that mutter or not? We'll have to hold on to next week the answer to that question. And that's going to touch upon the issue of the powdered milk and in terms of ice cream and a whole bunch of other things. So the chem was the introduction to that.
Again, Rav Sobolevsky, for those people who weren't here before, will be giving share 4:30 before the 5:30 mincha, and everybody is invited to my house 5867 Road. I have some childhood and the very dark.
I was learning the truth of the mind. We talked about being Marba, don't bring it up to 200.
Right.
So why isn't that in
that? Yeah.